This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All things considered, forget about the Western Conference for a second. Where the Knicks are at, being healthy themselves, fully healthy right now as it stands, two games into the second round, being up two games to none on the defending world champs after taking two in their building, looking at the other Eastern Conference playoff series with the number one seed being on the ropes, being down 0-2. Right now, we might be living in the best window for the Knicks to go win that championship.
The basketball gods are smiling, man. They are smiling on the New York Knicks, and it's now the responsibility of the Knicks to punch through and take advantage, because I don't disagree. You know, when we've gone through this season, and it's come up a lot, like, hey, is it 2 years? I mean, five is ludicrous. I know you're just saying that to kind of get things going. But, you know, 2 years, 3 years, I never even really stretch it out to that third year myself. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be right, but just the roster and some of the other components and contracts that need to be redone, whatever, I even think that was a bit ambitious. And even if the Knicks had full health in a couple of years, and the other circumstances that have been presented to them, some they control by winning the first two games against Boston, others they don't, like what's happening with the Pacers and the Cavaliers series. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's easy to sit back and say, well, you got a point guard who's in his prime and a big who's this and wings are that and this guy and that guy. Yeah, we're good for a couple of years. Sports really doesn't go that way. It's cruel. It's unpredictable. It's amazing. All rolled into one. So when you say that this very well might be their best chance to win a championship with this crew, I don't disagree.
And nobody wants to believe it, but luck is such a huge part of sports. I know you got to put yourself in a position to take advantage of some luck, sure, but yeah, you got to, all right, spend the right money and build the right team and make the right draft picks. It's more than luck, certainly, but there are a lot of things. Last year, the Knicks were also unlucky. They may not have been good enough. They were unlucky. All the injuries, starting with Randall in the regular season. Then we know what happened in the postseason. So a part of that, the Pacers got lucky that they took on a less than Knicks team, and it got them to the next level, to the Eastern Conference Finals. You could say the Pacers again getting lucky this year with circumstance with the Cavs, but hey, when you have a little sliver of window of luck, you got to take advantage of it, and that's where the Knicks are at, and just play it out. Look at the whole big picture here. Like, you're right. You could say, oh, it doesn't need to be this year because it could be next year in year two where they really gel, but who's to say that, knock on wood, a significant injury takes place or other teams are better? You just don't know. And in the moment right now, this might be the best chance that the Knicks have, period. I mean, it might be the best chance that they've had since 1973. Who knows?
I mean, it's definitely the most talented team. You and I definitely agree on that. All right, so think about this, guys. The expectation for the season based on the 50 wins a year ago, the acquisition of Towns, the acquisition of Bridges, it set forth a chain of emotional events that in our own minds, we conjured up what this season should look like, what it should lead to. And one of my pushbacks on the show, and I've said this a lot, and it looks like I might be wrong, which is amazing, is that They didn't look what I thought they would look like. They didn't gel fast enough. I didn't know if they were tough enough. All things that we've hit, okay? And they're dispelling that game by game, which is awesome to see. But along the way, definitely, like, bare minimum thoughts, I'm like, all right, well, they're going to be a top two seed. All right, well, they're building, these moves they're making are to, you know, counteract the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, not the conference semifinals.
Right.
You know, all these things, like, you have to assume the defending champions, you know, are going to be at because you don't assume injury, you just assume they'll be healthy. They're not. So that's another gift. I mean, I don't know how's the status. I don't know KP's status. I think there's something wrong with Tatum's hand.
I mean,
there's a lot going on here, Sal. So it is. It doesn't mean it's going to work out the way that we want ultimately with the championship, but it very well might mean next year is going to be a tough road, which means you got to cash in now.
And I guess the big picture thought would be the way that we looked at this series coming in, at least for me, I can only speak to myself. I know what the big picture a lot of people were thinking, but for me, it was okay. I want to finally see it with my own eyes, head to head, how far the disparity is between the champs and the Knicks. Because that's been the barometer. The Knicks are trying to get to a championship level, and it's all been hypotheticals. Oh, yeah, okay, well, they're the two seed because of circumstance or whatever, you know, last year, or, okay, they're unhealthy in the postseason. I want to see how they – this year's regular season, if you wanted to use that as a barometer – I want to see it with my own eyes where they're fully healthy going against the champs, regardless of what the Celtics' status is. They're meeting right now. Let's see. And what we've seen so far is it may not have been the prettiest of games, but the Knicks are up 2-0. And now we know that they have them, I don't know if you want to say on the ropes, but they've got a clear advantage in this series. At the very least, I said this yesterday, psychologically, I think the Knicks have them beat. I know the Celtics are going to be a tough out. Psychologically, they have them beat. But the thought of now seeing where the Knicks stack up coming into the series is totally different. To now, the expectations have changed to where they've kind of got to win this series.
Well, I don't disagree with that. They do have to win this series. But I want to go back to something you said earlier, luck. Like, sometimes you've got to be a little bit lucky. And we overlook that, right? Take the Yankees, and by the way, we'll do a lot of baseball later. We'll start throwing that stuff on the table. Haven't gotten to the Yanks and the Mets as much the last couple of days. Been very Nick heavy. We'll do baseball at 11, and we promise we'll give you some good stuff. But the start of the Yankee dynasty, right? 96, right?
Yeah.
You want to say a little bit, all right, 94, a good team, season canceled, 95, wild card, all right, that's a step, 96 champions. But think about, and we all know it, and we've all seen it, we all lived it, Jeffrey Mayer. You don't think they got lucky with that call? You don't think Carrasco's going to catch that ball? You don't think if there's replay now, there's not a different outcome?
100%.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that the Yankees wouldn't have found a way to win, but it doesn't guarantee that they would have. And that is largely lost in history. Yeah, it's a little wacky footnote. Oh, remember when the 10-year-old kid reached over and stuck the home run and pushed it over the fence for Jeter? Yeah, we do. But if that doesn't happen, I don't know if there's a parade about a month or so later. I don't know the answer to that. So I think sometimes people, when they hear the word luck, they almost take it as disrespect. But there's certain things that you cannot control. You just can't. And the health of the other team, you know, the other sequence of events and the other series, it doesn't matter. They're a little lucky. They're a little, and they're very good. And the circumstances are as favorable, I think, maybe as they will be with this crew ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't be looking at, okay, next year might be the year, you know, year two.
I'm not.
Year two with these guys. I think initially you could make that argument. All right, well, they have a nice little window here, whatever you want to say. 2 year, 3 year, five, whatever. Yeah. Some people are going to maybe be a little more, you know, expand that one, whatever it may be. Now we could be living in the midst of their best opportunity. Up 2-0 on the reigning champs, coming home for a game three tomorrow with no clear roadblock in sight. If this were the Pacers that they were beating or the Cavs, you'd still be like, the Celtics.
Can we beat the Celtics?
There's that roadblock. This is the roadblock. And again, I don't even want to go to the Western Conference. We have no idea who's going to be there. But look,
by the way, they could play Randall and Dante DiVincenzo in the finals. I'll go there for a sec.
I mean, wouldn't that be something? But that once you get to the finals, now it's all bets are out the window. It doesn't matter. It's a best of seven. Let's go.
Mm.
But those roadblocks that seemingly were there, they're starting to become less here, and you don't know if they'll ever be in a better spot than they are right now. They got to take advantage of this window. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is in Westchester. What's up, Matt?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
What's up, Matty?
So I just, you know, talking about the roadblocks in sight and sort of like my expectations for the season, and I don't know about you guys, I was more in the Sal boat, I think, the whole season, talking about, you know, it was always about the playoffs for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and I'm definitely, you know, younger than you guys, if I get to see, you know, a trip to the conference finals and they ultimately end up making it to the finals, like, that to me is a successful season. And I think, you know, you guys are spot on about, you know, our window and sort of what we're looking at in terms of roadblocks. But as long as we and unless we go play OKC, I'll always believe we have the best player on the floor. Like, I'll ride with this team until they give me a reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're giving me every reason to ride with this team, and we can always nitpick what works and what doesn't as fans. But, you know, what Brunson and Bridges and sort of the cohesion that BT had been looking for all season coming together at the right time, like, that's what matters to me, and I'll ride with this group. This group has given me no reason to not ride with them, and I think that's all we can ask for.
I love it. I love it.
A reason to ride.
That's a great call, Matt. I think that they've given us more reasons. Well, I won't speak for everybody. I'll speak for myself. They've given me more reasons to believe that the ride can go further and be more rewarding than maybe I originally thought. But, yeah, I mean, the evidence is building by the day. You know, I mean, listen, you're down 20 points on the road, fourth quarter, in the defending champion's house. And you win both games? I mean, you've got everything working. You've got a little magic. You've got a lot of execution. You've got a little bit of luck. You've got some beneficial circumstance. You name it, it's at the Knicks' doorstep right now. You got to keep going.
Yeah, it was a great call, Matt. And I don't want to get too far ahead. I know we're talking about, hey, this might be their best opportunity here, and there's reason why we're bringing that up. But Matt also touched on something. I mean, think about it. The Knicks haven't been to a conference finals in 25 years. That's a big deal. Even just getting there now, the expectations change. I don't know if you and I are going to be sitting here applauding them if they lost in Eastern Conference Finals just because they got there.
I won't.
Especially with the circumstance.
I will not.
This is different from a year ago where we applauded them because they gave, like, that team to me maxed out last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little bit different. But, yeah, I do think you need to appreciate each step of the way, especially if they get there. Now, I still think there's a long way to go in this series. I know it's just two more wins away, but I'm nervous about the Celtics and them turning it on. That's a different part of the conversation. Big picture, though, if the New York Knicks get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I know we all want championship. I know we all want at least NBA Finals. But it's been 25 years since they've gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals. The 76ers couldn't do it. You know what I mean? During the whole process, like, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals is an accomplishment. Not the one that we all want,
yeah,
but it's a step along the way.
It is, but then I'd have to see, like, what's next. That's off-season stuff.
Know.
Like, I get you. And listen, the mood would be so different. Let's say, I'll just say, I don't know, I hope it doesn't happen, and I don't necessarily believe it at this point, but let's just say the Knicks get bounced, right? And they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals either to the Pacers, and that would be worse because that would be home court advantage, whatever, even though they're not playing particularly well at home, or the Cavaliers. All right, Cavs get healthy, whatever, things change, and they lose. Like, I'm not coming in standing up, which is how I started the show a year ago when they lost Game 7 at home at the Garden to the Pacers last year because that team was ravaged. I mean, OG's hamstring was literally snapped, and he still hits a corner three. I'm like, wow, is this like Willis Reed? Like, I could not conjure up more respect for that group. How hard they played, how hard they played for each other, how connected they were. Like, I loved that team, right? So I stood up and I clapped for them. If they, there's no clapping anymore. That's it. I'll clap when they score. I'll clap when they win. I will never clap again with this group when they lose because they've got the components to not lose.
Matt is in Newburgh. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
What's up, fellas?
You.
So, two things.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
2 points I want to bring up about the Knicks real quick. First off, I think the window, the most important game is tomorrow.
Yep.
If you can get this game tomorrow, you're showing we're up 3-0. You got another game at the Garden. Whatever happens there is fine. Going back to Boston. But the most important game is tomorrow. Have to try to stay on top. Now, the other thing I want to talk about real fast, I don't want to go crazy with it, though, the officiating. The Knicks are getting down 20 in these games mm-hmm. because the NBA changes the way they call the games in the playoffs. You got Cat and Brunson looking for these calls that they're used to getting 82 games in the regular season that they don't get. And that affects the Knicks more than the Celtics because the Celtics shoot threes.
I mean,
that is true.
Well, that part's true. But listen, okay, I'm not saying it's a completely invalid observation. There's been whistles both ways, by the way, even in the Pistons series against Detroit. I mean, come on. They're letting them bang, which is what we want.
They weren't calling them in the Pistons series, which was far more physical than this.
I mean,
Cat was getting mauled inside. Everybody getting mauled inside, and there were no whistles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not the officials haven't even crossed my mind, honestly.
No, maybe not in this series. There were a couple times where specifically, and Reggie said this, and he was right. I forget when it was. I don't know. I think it was in the middle of his hot streak, Karl Anthony Towns, where it was like an up and under, and there was a lot of contact, right? And they let it go. All right. I mean, I don't mind that because our defensive wings are fairly physical. Not that we handshake. You can't, but, there's a lot of engagement, physicality. I think that's advantage Knicks, certainly in this series, because, I just think they're tougher. Like, they're physically more resilient, stronger than the Boston Celtics are. So I'm fine with that. But to say that that's the reason why they're falling behind is ludicrous. I just think that their offense is too stagnant. I don't think that there's a lot of good ball movement early on. I really think what happens is that the Knicks are in such amazing cardiovascular condition that by the time you get to the later stages of the games, the other teams are huffing and puffing. Their tongues are hitting the ground. They're holding their shorts. And the Knicks are like, let's go. And that's when the ball movement, and that's when things change a little bit.
What should be a credit for Tibbs? How about just simplifying this? If Mikal Bridges didn't do what he did in the fourth quarter in game two, the Knicks do get run out of the gym. If Mikal Bridges hit some shots in the first, second, or third quarter, then maybe it's not a 17-20-point lead.
Like, yes, well, that's what I'm saying.
That's been the thing. You're attributing him having success, let's say, in later in the game.
Well, partially.
Maybe that's true. I'm just saying, look at the stats. And Bridges, by the way, has been doing this in the Detroit series as well.
Like, I know.
The Knicks get up big. They could be even bigger. They could have put the foot on the throat of Detroit if Bridges or some other guys, but specifically him, were knocking down some game-changing or momentum-swinging threes. And they don't, keeps the Pistons hanging around, and in this case, lets the Celtics pull away. But then all of a sudden, he starts to knock down those shots, Celtics start missing some shots the other way, and now that's how you have the combination of the Knicks coming back into these games.
So, Sal, we talk a lot about adjustments. You hear they're such a waste of time, by the way, like the after the first quarter interviews or halftime with the sideline reporter, hey, coach, what do you have to do to change the tone? I don't know, play better.
Yeah.
Like, it's so mindless, it's so stupid at this point. But I'll give you one. How about, because I don't think think the Celtics would expect this. They expect Brunson to try to eat tomorrow night. I wish it was tomorrow night. Tomorrow, quarter one. They expect that Cat will get his looks. How about you feed Mikal Bridges early? How about when we're going to the second quarter, whatever the score is, close. I don't think it's going to be a rout either way. How about Mikal Bridges has 11, 12, 13 points? How about you completely flip that? We know he's capable when he gets good looks. And now if that happens, now think about what Boston's going to have to react to the rest of the game.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't – look, the X's and O's, I mean, maybe you and I see that a little – I know what you're saying.
I mean, think of it, you know, but it's X's and O's, but it's also common sense. Hey, get him involved.
I don't care how they draw it up. Hit some damn shots in the first second. Mikal Bridges has been great. Like, everybody wants to love on Mikal Bridges. I understand that. Is it too much to ask? Guy score some points in the first three quarters? There's a first half of the game, too. Oh, he played 51 minutes in game one. That's great. He scored 8 points in 51 minutes. I mean, he had one big three. It happened to be in overtime, sure. Yeah. I'm not knocking the defense, but offensively, the games could change early on if he starts to hit some of those shots. Mario is in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Yeah, he's on a great show, as always. BT, I agree 100% about what you said of Mikal Bridges. Get him shots early.
Let's go.
He's also a confidence guy, too. His confidence gets down, and then he doesn't shoot well. Get him going early, and then they can get a few points, and then you can take it from there. Now, as far as the games go, they're in a very good position. Let's look at the numbers. 2-0, right? If they win the next game, it's 3-0. Do you know how many teams won at 3-0? Zero. 156-0. Is the record for teams that are up.
And we said that about the Yankees, too, before they choked away to Boston. I won't mess around with history anymore, but keep going.
Yeah, second thing is, even if they only win one, it's 3-1. That's 96% chance to win. They're in a very, very good position. And you know what? They did the right thing. Scott Perry, was it Scott Perry that got in Anunoby and...
Leon Rose is on everything.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Leon Rose. Okay. Yeah.
So, Scott Perry.
So the thing is...
Neil Keita, I think.
And that was when Phil Jackson was running.
Yeah, I think
Scott
so.
Perry was always just kind of like
I agree.
I don't know where I got him from. But
but he wasn't really making the big decisions.
Not the good ones.
Yeah, the thing is, these wings are unbelievable. Bridges won two games in a row in the playoffs with a defensive play at the end of the game.
We're well aware.
I've never seen anybody do that.
Well, that's why I want to get him involved a little bit early, Mario. Thanks for the call. Now, the amazing thing about him, and we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, like, it takes a special person here, because our city's just different. It just is. Like, the pressure, the scrutiny, the shrapnel on the radio, like, it's tough. Going back to the writers back in the day when newspapers really ran the show. So, to come here with championship-ish expectations for the Knicks this year, and to not have quite the kind of season that we thought Bridges would, even though I think it was a little bit hijacked as to how bad he was. I've defended him most of this year. But to do nothing and then to elevate during money time, one thing that we know about Mikal Bridges, the guy's got a slow heartbeat, dude. He's not overwhelmed by being a Knick. He's not overwhelmed by playing the Celtics. He's not overwhelmed about playing for the Knicks in the playoffs. He is a smooth cat. And if you get him hunting a little bit early, then I think you've got the offensive team that I thought we'd see most of the year.
BT and Sal on the Fan, when we come back, we'll further the conversation with the Knicks. A couple people have mentioned it. It's been said yesterday. Is Game 3, in fact, a must-win for the Knicks? 888-808-1019. You two old heads, like, get back into reality and deal with it now. But, man, I loved the Knicks and loved the NBA and loved basketball so much. I love the fact that the NBA on NBC is coming back, and you got Round Ball Rock coming back. But the Knicks being good, it's so much fun to be able to talk about it with you and the callers and have the listeners be involved in the conversation. Like, I just love that the Knicks have given us something here the last few years, and maybe this year, BT, going to turn out to be special.
I've got a lot of framed jerseys in my basement. The team that's most represented is the Knicks, even more than the Yankees. You know, I've been asked a lot, like, hey, Jets or Knicks? Because obviously people know the battle of futility. If you can get one, what would you take? And my answer has always been the Knicks. And the answer has been, you know, number one, I'm probably a bit of a Knicks fan before the Jets, but not by much. But really, it's for the run that they put you on. When you win a Super Bowl, not that I wouldn't like to have this experience as well, but you win, let's say, you win the division or even a wild card. You play a couple of games, bang, it's over. If you win an NBA championship, you start right around April 15th, and you go into almost the middle of June. Think about that 2-month run in this city where there's 95% Knicks fans, there's nothing that matches it.
Another big aspect of it, yeah, you just nailed it. 95% Knicks fans. It's the one team in this town that unifies the majority of sports fans.
Yep.
All due respect to the Nets fans, like, we know the deal here. The Nets just, they just don't matter anywhere near as much. And in the landscape, even the Islander fans represent and Devils fans represent more of a percentage of a split in the hockey fan base than the Nets do as far as basketball goes. So we know the Jets and Giants, the divide, and the Mets and Yankees. There is no real divide between the Knicks and the Nets or the Knicks fans and anybody else. That's a special part of it, too. We're all on the same page rooting for the Knicks.
Which is rare. So I don't know the answer to this. I mean, we don't even really know specifically how many Yankee fans are there versus Mets. We guess, whatever. If you took every Devil fan, every Islander fan, and every Net fan and added them all up, it still doesn't equal the Knicks fan base.
Right. And the Knicks, it's the one team that can unify the center. All right, now, for tomorrow, I do think Game 3 is a must-win. And I know people, like, I use must-win a lot, and people are like, oh, it's not a must-win. Like, they take it way too literal for me. I don't use must-win as a literal must-win. Well, it's Game 7, you must win. Yeah, obviously. We all know that. So for me, if the Knicks are going to win this series, I do think Game 3 is a must-win because I don't want to give the Celtics any life, not even a split and 3-1 and go back to Boston for Game 5, which I think the Celtics could win that game very easily, and then all of a sudden it comes down to one game at Madison Square and then potentially a Game 7 in their building. So I don't want to mess with any of that. When you have the champion down, you keep the foot on the throat and you put him away. I do think if the Knicks are going to win this series, I think Game 3 is a must-win.
I don't agree. I don't agree, although I'm tempted to because they have not played well at the Garden. Like, that's the only thing that's given me pause to come to your side. I think the Celtics are wounded. I think they're mentally fragile right now. I think their superstars hurt. I know some of their role players aren't right. And the Knicks haven't played a great game yet. Like, we've gone over this a lot. Like, you know, 43% one game, 42% the other, out in terms of field goal overall, which is awful. Not threes, total. You know, 17 for 31 from the stripe in the first game, out-rebounded both games, 20-point deficits. Like, that's got to end. Like, there's got to be a market correction at some point. And I asked you the other day, I said, Sal, how many vintage Karl Anthony Town games do you think it would take in a seven-game series for the Knicks to win? And I think our answer was both three. Have we really had one yet from Cat?
No.
I know we had a five-minute spurt from him the other night.
I don't even know if you're going to need that necessarily because of the other... Like, you could have Brunson take over one game. You could have Bridges take over. And now I know he's taking over the end of these two games here. But we haven't even seen a vintage Brunson game yet.
Yeah.
So you could see... You could have Towns take over one game. Ananobi was the... star in game one for the majority
what
of the game.
29?
Whatever it was. Yeah. And then even Josh Hart was the leading scorer for the Knicks in game two.
My guy.
So they've done it without having their best performances from their best players. I think they can win the series without having Towns go nuts for for two or three games. But it would be nice to have, let's say, a Towns vintage game to get you game three, and then a Brunson vintage game to get you the fourth win, and then move on.
All right, so you say must win, not literally, but I know what you mean. Must win game three. If they don't win, you don't think they win the series?
So that was going to be my counter here. Let's say they don't win game three. In my mind, obviously, then game four, like, you have to win game four. Then that becomes, to me, the absolute must win. But the reason why I say game three is because if it's 2-1 Knicks, now I think doubt starts to creep back in. Forget about just the fans or media, whatever, but maybe the Knicks themselves.
The players?
No,
I don't think so.
They haven't been great at home.
I think they're immune to that.
Think about what happened.
We might not be. I think they are.
Okay, but we, the fans who are going to the game in game four, are maybe not going to feel as confident as they are in going into game three.
I didn't feel confident in one or two when they still won.
Understood, but I'm saying if you're confident, like the confidence level right now is through the roof. You have the Celtics on the ropes. You're in control of the series and you're coming back home. The energy in game three tomorrow is going to be more positive, more confident going into that game than it will be going into game four if the Knicks lose game three. And then could that lead to maybe a little more pressurized spot where the Knicks would be clearly under more pressure in game four.
Yeah.
Because if they lose game four after losing game three, now the series you lost total control of the series.
All right, so I appreciate you setting up this sequence of possible events, right? But this is the one thing that we've learned. Let's just say that they lose Saturday, right? And it's 2-1,
right.
And boom, we're coming to game four. Now, like, the energy could change. The crowd could be a little different. I think the players are immune to this. This group, I think, is much more resilient mentally than I thought, and they're showing that by the day. But even if the crowd's on a little angst going in, not quite the same pop or the buzz during the intros, they're a little nervous. Knicks start the game up 16-5, which I don't know that they will, but they could. Then that all goes away. Like, that's why it's so hard. And all the energy's back, and we're like, all right, now we're going to go up 3-1 on the Celtics. That's why I think the broad brush stroke, which we have to do because we have to tell people what we think could happen, but I don't look at it that way. They just need to start winning at the Garden. Play better at the Garden.
But that's part of it. So if they lost Game 3, now the string of poor performances at Madison Square Garden continue. I mean, at that point, it'd be what? 3 losses in a row. Well, they played poorly in Game 1. They lost Game 2. They lost Game 5. If they lose Game 3, it'd be 3 losses in a row at home in the postseason, which is not any good. And the most important reason to me why I think Game 3 is a must-win, I don't want the Celtics to get any kind of energy.
Well, that
or
part
life.
I can appreciate.
Yeah, that's the number one reason. Yeah, exactly. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Sal. First off, I said to BT on Monday, but prayers out to your family. Both my mom and dad both passed away from cancer years ago at this point, but it feels like yesterday, so I understand what you're going through.
Thank you, Brad. Hope
everything is well.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. And you're welcome. I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek. We're halfway to the title, boys. We won 6 games. We got to win 6 more. The team in New York, I was really trying to think about a team that had title expectations that were similar to this team in the beginning of the season. And the team that I came up with was the 2024 Rangers. Now, the good thing for the Rangers is that the Rangers didn't have to play a team like Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals. Unfortunately, they didn't get through it. But at the end of the day, I think that's the best comparison. And I do want to tell you guys something right now that, Sal, you hit right on the head. I'm 37 years old. When I'm watching them, I feel like I'm 10 or 11 again.
Yeah.
These 20-point deficits turning into wins. Like, and obviously I said my dad passed away from cancer, but I remember the 4-point play. I remember Allen Houston with his head above the rim in 99, we were the 8th seed. Like, this team is making me feel like I'm a kid again, and that's what it's all about. Go New York, go New York.
Yeah, Brad.
Boy.
Man, it gives me goosebumps. Great call. It's funny, and even hearing Brad go over those moments, I don't think that as a sports fan, I've ever enjoyed anything more in my sports fandom life than Knicks postseason runs. They've been far and few between in the last 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But even these ones now, even the one with Melo when the Knicks got beat by the Pacers, which I hate, Hibbert shoot up Tyson Chandler, all that stuff.
Yeah, 54-win season. Good team.
Yeah, the last 3 years, anytime, like, I can't wait to watch that game tomorrow.
I know.
You make it a priority. Going back, obviously, to the 90s, that was, like, my whole life revolved around that. Wearing the jerseys to school the next day, win or lose, because I was a proud Knicks fan. But that's what's so special about these playoff series. You touched on it before when you said Knicks over Jets, meaning it's not just a game. It's a series we dive into. It's so special.
You don't get this because the emotional swings, it's not quite like this. Even when the Yanks and the Mets are in a back and forth, I'm not saying it's not amazing. It is. But like divisional championship, even the World Series, there's something about basketball, maybe because there's more changes to the script within a singular game, meaning you could be up by 15, down by 7, back up by 9. Like, the Yanks and the Mets, it's very rare that you jump out to a 5-0 lead and then you're losing 7-5 and then you're winning, 9-7. Like, baseball doesn't go that way in terms of within one game, let alone within one series. I just think, and then it's the pace of the game. There's an element, I know it's not hockey or football, but there's an element of physicality.
Yeah.
Like the music, there's just something about it, man. I hear you. Like, there's nothing that's going to compare for me to the 96 World Series. I've always said that. I was there. It meant the world. I had to see one. I got tired of hearing about Ruth and Garrick and Mantle and everybody else. I want to see one, and I did. But the New York Knicks, they do something to our psyche and our emotions that is very hard to describe. But, man, it is real.
Phil is in Nanuet. What's up, Phil?
Hey, we haven't pointed out the fact that Tibbs definitely out-coach Boston by leaving Mitchell Robinson in to get those two fouls. That, I think, was the clincher in us winning game two.
It got him five free throws. Five free throws, yep.
Yep. Because if he doesn't foul, then Brunson doesn't get a chance to take those two shots, probably, and then that over the limit. So that was the clincher, I think, in the game. So I think Boston definitely got out-coached.
Right, we talked about that yesterday, Phil, and thank you for the call. I mean, I think it's been clear through the first two games that the Knicks have the better coach, at least in this series right now. Now, I'm not saying Missoula won a championship. We know how great he could be. But also from the aspect of, if you're the Celtics, what the hell are you doing? It's following the same exact script. I know they shoot the three. I'm not talking about that. But when the game playing out the same exact way in game two that it did in game one, and you lost in game one, and you see it happening again, come on. I'm sorry. A good coach would change it up a little bit and say, we got a big lead here. Let's maybe try to attack the basket a little bit more, slow it down a little bit. I'm not saying get away from what you do. That's what they do, shoot threes. But to follow the same exact script and have it fail again in game two, that to me is not smart coaching.
No, it's not. And I'll give you a script that Tom Thibodeau elected not to follow, and it worked out very well. I mean, think about Jason Tatum basically going 94 feet and dunking with 18.5. That the next possession, you know, when he had a chance to win it, obviously in the corner would have got knocked away by Mikal Bridges. If you look at how the Knicks defense reacted, it was completely different. They dropped back. That initial Tatum dunk, they were up on him, which left them very vulnerable in the middle. But when you look at how they were arranged, you know, strategically, they were 30 feet off him. They were sagging off him, which made him... It gave him a clearer path from maybe where he got the ball to slightly before half court, but the Knicks were more prepared. Look at Mitchell Robinson at the top of that, moving his feet and then rerouting him. And then look in the post, the OG, I think that was Horford, you know, kind of hedging with Horford and then coming to the corner to help Bridges. Like, it was different than what they, and that's coaching is what I'm saying.
It's almost as if Tibbs knows what he's doing.
Sometimes he does. Yeah, I've always said he's really good. I'm waiting for him to be great.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back, 888-808-1019.
All right, FanDuel's the spot to find all your favorite player props. And now you can. How'd you do on the player props last night? I know Randall did pretty well for you.
Yeah, I had them all. Had the T-Wolves. DiVincenzo hit two or more threes. I think he hit
three
last I checked.
Of course he did, yeah.
Randall had over. Anthony Edwards, my guy, let me down. He did get banged up in the game.
That's right.
But he let me. He only scored, I think, 20. I needed 28. We got game four. On Monday, obviously, hopefully the Knicks will be going for a sweep. I'll be looking forward to going to the building for that one. But I do look at it. Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
You know, $500, but it is what it is. I don't even know where I'm sitting. But
you know
what
the cheapest you got? By the way, it's a good deal. I saw the cheapest seat right now, seven change for tomorrow.
Yeah,
so you got in early
for tomorrow.
I thought it was. It could have been game four. I thought it was for tomorrow. Maybe I'm wrong. But definitely.
I wonder. Usually the clinchers go up. So game four, if the Knicks win game three. My ticket, I'm assuming, would go way up.
Sell it.
No, come on. Want to be in the building for that one.
Sell it and then go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, well, that's the risk you run here, is that when you start going to these playoff games, I did it years ago with the Rangers, like, oh, I want to go to one every round. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you go to one every round, you're broke. I can't afford the mortgage.
No,
like,
no. That's,
dude, I'm serious. Like, it is... I don't know how these people do it. I'm serious. I don't know how any. It's absurd. I know some people just have ridiculous money.
Some people make, you know, $15 million a year. That's how.
The companies have it. Yeah,
the corporate stuff.
Okay, going to a game, whatever. Going to multiple games, even if you. Because I know people who have season tickets. Even if you just buy the season tickets, going to every home game throughout a long run as the ticket prices go up and up and up. That's freaking expensive.
Yeah.
It's more than a vacation to take your family to Disney or whatever.
Tell me about it. We're already booking a few, so I hear you.
Yeah.
Taking the kids to an island this summer. Look, first time.
Oh, nice. They're
like,
okay.
With the kids. You know, Jen and I have been to a bunch, but so that'll be fun. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even want to go to every game.
One around? Like one game per round? See, I always felt like that would be my duty as a fan if I could... Financial. Plus, I love doing it, but you feel like you're a part of the run if you go to one each round.
I get that. I've become very comfortable. As I've said, very comfortable watching the game at my house. Really, you know, I've got lazy with that. I admit it.
And then if you do, I went to, who was the first round opponent? Was it the Cavs a couple years ago? Yeah, Cavs and then Heat, right?
Yes.
So I went to one against the Cavs, I'm pretty sure. And I think I went to two against the Heat. And they didn't have a third round. But, you know, this year, assuming that we could, you know, see them win two more games here, you don't think I'd want to go to an Eastern Conference Finals game? I don't think I've ever been to an Eastern Conference Finals I've been to Rangers all the way through, Stanley Cup Finals. I've never been to a Knicks Finals game or an Eastern Conference Finals.
You know what I've never done? I have never seen the Knicks play on the road.
Ever?
No. No.
Not even. Well, you must have seen them in New Jersey or Brooklyn.
No? I'm not counting that.
Okay.
I'm counting like, by the way, not like I've called some games, but I mean as a fan.
Yeah.
So
I did Seattle once. All right, so
that's cool. I mean, I've done a lot of jet trips, you know, Green Bay, Dallas, Tennessee.
Are you going to go into the pocket for a little
bit? Oh, yeah. I'm already lining something up for us. I've already got dates here. I don't want to be presumptuous here. I shouldn't even say it, should I?
No, yesterday you were already coming on saying the Knicks are going to win the series.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't say I guarantee it. Okay. I mean, you said, do you think they're going to win? I'm like, yeah, they're going to win the series. Yeah, I'm not hiding from that. They will.
Book it.
I don't know how many games. I don't know if I said book it. Maybe I did. Maybe I was feeling myself. But I'm also feeling myself enough to start looking ahead to the Eastern Conference Finals. I am looking at in my little, I got a blue, I got away from the legal pad. Little blue notebook now. So I've got every game, whether it's the Indiana Pacers or the Cavaliers for the Eastern Conference Finals, because we are going to a road game and broadcasting from a city.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, so.
Especially, I'd rather do Indiana than Cleveland. I've been in Cleveland before. Wow. I want to see Knicks, Pacers,
Eastern Conference. It's a nice arena, too.
It's
not called Conseco. It's very nice. I've been there. It's very nice.
I mean, the old Market Square Arena. Yeah. I'd like to go there if I could.
Market Square Arena. Good God, yeah.
Knicks, Pacers. Is Rick Smith playing? No, but yeah, I mean, that's Eastern Conference Finals. I'd love to be a part of that.
So as much as I'm sitting here saying, I don't want to really go to too many games at the Garden, I'm getting an itinerary to go on the road.
And by the way, probably cheaper to buy tickets and hotel and flight for Indianapolis,
then
it will be to go to the Garden. It might be.
I mean, there's some details we got to work out, but that is something that BT and Sal will, in all probability, be doing.
Ooh, looking forward to that. All right, Victor is calling from Harlem. What's up, Vic?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Listen, the game's not even until tomorrow, but you guys are getting me fired up. The first point I wanted to say was, BT, I think you brought it up a couple days ago, but definitely earlier on the show. Nothing in sports is guaranteed. You have to seize the moment. Up until this point, we did not see the Knicks beat the Celtics. Now they're up 2-0. They have to capitalize. Throughout New York sports the last two decades, I've seen years, promising years, lead to nothing. The 2006-2015 Mets, the Giants 2022, the Knicks with Carmelo, the 50-win year season. All years, I thought it was laying a foundation, and nothing in the future has come. So the Knicks have to seize the moment. The second thing is,
it's a good way to look at
now,
it. Vic, real quick, interesting point, yep. and you're right. Like, your history proves you right, but doesn't this group feel at least a little different? Like, it does feel like there's more. Like, it's not after this year; it's over. You got to at least say that, right?
No.
Okay.
No. By no means. I just meant you guys brought it up. Nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Okay.
And the second point, just real quick. To all the fans who were able to, you know, buy a ticket for tomorrow, show up, get your money's worth. This is the first time this Knicks team is coming home after beating Detroit, after beating the defending champs on the road, not once, but twice. Has it been pretty? No. But as fans, what else can we ask for? Show up, get rowdy. I want the Garden rocking.
It will be.
And let's show Boston Woolly fans, there's only one Garden. Let's go, Knicks.
That's right. Yeah, they are trashy, a lot of those fans.
See, the city's starting to come together now. Mm-hmm. You got Boston sports radio guys calling the Knicks trash.
I saw that.
You got guys in Philadelphia now. The only thing that can make Philadelphia 76ers fans root for the Boston Celtics is the fact that they're playing the Knicks.
You think they root for the Celtics?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. I think people, the majority of people in Philadelphia want New York and the Knicks specifically out.
Is it also a Mets thing?
It's
got to tie into a little
that
bit.
I don't
because,
know.
Sal, I ask you that because the Celtics Sixers rivalry in the early 80s, like Dr. J and Bird threw punches at each other. Like, that was fierce.
Right, but that's a long time
ago. But they're still alive. Well, I hear you.
Going back, what, 40 years now,
I understand, but 40 years. Yeah, I got you, but I mean, you know, Mets championship goes back 40 years. Right, I mean, but, things but, get passed
but what
on.
But what do you think would be worse for the Philadelphia sports fan base to deal with in current day? The Celtics always beat them.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked about the Mets. Current day, I think it's the Knicks winning.
Well, the Knicks just beat them last year. Like, and plus, You know, it's why the I don't even know their names, the Boston radio show hosts, whatever. I know they're successful, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about them. They do their thing, and it's fine. It's got a lot of attention. But calling the Knicks trash and garbage, like, that to me is a whole nother level.
That's lazy radio. Trash.
It's just not accurate. But the reason why they say that is because the Knicks have been trash for the better part of two decades. They haven't been the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been since Tibbs got here and then Brunson. We know the history. They don't. I don't expect them to. But they were trash for 20 years, which I do think a part of the now build back up after it was dormant for so long,
mm-hmm.
ticks a lot of fans off, especially when you have the entire city of New York behind this team, where usually there's a divide. We fight amongst ourselves here. We don't need Philadelphia or Boston to do it. We fight amongst ourselves with Mets, Yankees, or Jets, Giants, or whatever.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's also very easy to be dismissive still, even though you're down 2-0, when you're the Celtics. So if you're doing a radio show up there, like, pragmatically, I'm sure, and logically, you know that the Knicks are a problem. And if you don't, then you just don't know what you're watching. But I think it's easy. And I used to do this with the Red Sox. I admit, we'll find a way to beat the Red Sox. Right. We're the Yankees. We're not going to lose to the Red Sox. They're trash. I was probably saying the same damn thing.
I get it.
You know, they don't really respect us. That's fine. You respect us when we get win number 4 and you're home. Then you got to respect us.
Well, then that's where we punch back. We're calculated
here.
We're going to wait. Yeah, exactly. No need to do it up 2-0.
We'll save.